Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's March 26th. I'm Brian Dean Wright, former CIA operations officer, and this is The Wright Report. Hey, good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Wright Report, your daily news podcast. I've got four briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First up, America and the United Kingdom accused China yesterday of a massive, decades-long cyber attack campaign. And yet, both countries are still signing deals with Beijing this morning for all sorts of things. Details on that hypocrisy coming up. Second, Russia is targeting underground caverns inside of Ukraine that are full of natural gas. We'll explain the strategy and the risk to your pocketbook. Third, the White House plan to deliver aid to the Gaza Strip is coming under renewed scrutiny this morning. U.S. troops are likely to become targets because of how that aid will be moved onto Gaza's beaches. Fourth, some good news for you. General Motors has announced a major plan to stop using their cars to spy on you, or sort of anyway. I've got the details coming up. Later, a listener question from Barry from somewhere in America. He was a little bit confused about my reports yesterday and in days gone by about why U.S. consumers might pay higher gas prices and diesel prices, all because Ukraine was attacking Russia and their refineries with their drones. Barry asked me, well, wait a minute, aren't we the world's biggest supplier of oil? Well, Barry, yes, but that's not the full story, unfortunately. I'll explain why it ultimately still doesn't matter. But first, let's get to our top stories of the morning. The governments of the U.S. and the United Kingdom accused China yesterday of a massive, decades-long cyber attack campaign. Sweeping charges were filed in the United States against Chinese nationals associated with the hacking group that is called APT-31. The hackers allegedly took direction from the Communist Party of China and President Xi. The goal in the U.K. was to target their electoral system, although it is unlikely whether the Chinese hackers actually managed to change any votes or outcomes. But nevertheless, they were able to steal at least 40 million UK voter records. Those are now in Beijing. Analysts expect that the information will be used to do things like ferret out British spies operating all around the world. They're also going to use it to otherwise target UK citizens for intelligence operations like blackmail. Meanwhile, UK authorities are also alleging that the Chinese targeted British Parliament members and various British industries, of course, stealing their trade secrets. The filings in this U.S. court that were offered yesterday also said that these same kinds of attacks and goals occurred here, too, in the U.S. The Department of Justice said that China and President Xi directed a Wuhan-based company to target American citizens, our politicians, and our industries. The Deputy Attorney General, Ms. Lisa Monaco, said that American personal emails, our work accounts, online storage, and even telephone call records were stolen by China. That includes millions of just average folks like you and I, plus senators, congressmen, senior military leaders, White House officials, and even their spouses. And much like in the UK, that data will now be used in Chinese profiling and intelligence operations. That will, of course, include blackmail to identification of U.S. intel officers who are at the CIA. Ms. Monaco added that Beijing will also use this data to target Chinese nationals in both the U.S. and Europe. The Communist Party will do this to try to find and neutralize any dissidents of the Chinese regime. For what it's worth, U.S. and British politicians are calling this event a watershed moment in our respective relationships with China. Of course, they highlight how long-term and pervasive this cyber attack was and the targets involved. These politicians are now saying that Beijing represents an existential threat to our respective nations. Well, if this is indeed a watershed moment, that will be quite a change from just September, actually. That is when the British government said that they would not refer to China as a foe or use any other kind of aggressive language. Here's a quote for you. China is a country that we do a lot of business with, end quote. Well, that was said in September. No longer is that true, apparently. But wait, it is true. We still do a lot of business. So here's the hypocrisy. This morning, over 100 CEOs from both the UK and the US are in China, attending what is called the annual China Development Forum. The goal is to curry favor with the Communist Party and President Xi to ensure their corporate access to the 1.4 billion Chinese consumers. They also hope to shore up the security of their supply chains. For what it's worth, CEOs in attendance this week include men like Apple's CEO Tim Cook, who hopes to dine with President Xi later this week. But it is not just corporate interests that are keeping China tied very closely to the United States and Western powers, exposing the hypocrisy. Consider this. Less than 1 month ago, the Biden White House quietly agreed to extend a deal to exchange information and personnel on matters regarding science and technology. It's called the U.S.-China Science and Technology Agreement. It was signed back in 1979 when the U.S. first recognized Beijing as the legitimate government of that nation. As the Wall Street Journal reports this morning, the hope at the time was that this agreement would help influence China's behavior and ultimate development, getting them to be closer to us as a democracy. Well, that idea has clearly failed, but this deal still remains. And as of last month, the U.S. will continue to offer up sensitive research on science and technology of all kinds. Plus, they are going to allow for the swapping of scientists and researchers who will then go inside of America's universities and laboratories. And to be fair, this agreement was last extended back in 2018 under then-President Donald Trump. He agreed to extend this agreement or deal, but only after some additional language was inserted to better reflect some counterintelligence concerns. For what it's worth, the House Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party warned that this deal is bad and it should be scrapped. They've been warning about that for months now, but for now, it still remains in force. And with those facts and data, let me now offer my brief analysis and opinion. When President Nixon and later President Carter pushed to officially recognize Beijing, dumping Taiwan as the official representative of the Chinese people, they did this because they believed that we could change or otherwise steer Beijing and the Communist Party, of course, to be more like us, eventually a democracy. And that same argument and that same logic was true when Congress allowed China to become a member of the Global Trade Alliance that is called the WTO. We allowed China in, right? We dropped our tariffs, which ultimately destroyed our manufacturing base, all in hopes that our economies, in addition to our governments, would become closer together. They would bind closer together and Beijing would be pushed further into democracy. But now, 50 years since we embarked on those grand experiments, folks, the results are in and they are very clear. We failed. Nixon failed, Carter failed, Bill Clinton failed, all of them, Republicans and Democrats alike, failed. And now we've got so many problems. The Chinese have us wired through hacker groups like the APT-31, as discussed yesterday, plus others like Bolt Typhoon that I briefed you on previously. They have also got us beat on some very important military technology. And of course, they own much of our economy, either directly or indirectly. And boy, this morning, that economic stranglehold that Beijing has over us, it just seems impossible to escape. In part because corporate America just doesn't want to let go. Men like Apple's Tim Cook is but one example. But putting aside the economic piece, the same is true of many of our politicians. They just don't want to let go of Beijing. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that part of the reason for that, with high confidence, I can tell you that during my time at the CIA, we and some colleagues at the FBI knew that a certain number of our politicians were likely compromised by Beijing. So taken together, that is the massive challenge in which we live. That is the massive challenge of modern America and Europe, too. We have just walked down this path for the past 50 years. And what that means is it is going to take decades from now, maybe 50 years to fully walk away from it. Then again, maybe not. Because if China were to invade Taiwan, as most folks like me expect and believe, we're not going to have a choice. We're going to be pushed away and pushed down. And as ever, that is why I continue to focus on this issue for you, offering you the facts and data on the current state of things and how best to prepare yourselves and your families in the event a war were to come. And that is why, as ever, I will keep you posted. And with that, let us take our first break of the morning. For subscribers listening at rightreport.substack.com, thank you. Meanwhile, for my other loyal listeners, I offer you an equal thanks as well. We'll be right back, folks. Well, I am hooked. I'm hooked on bubsnaturals.com. Every morning, folks, I use their collagen peptide powder in my coffee, and I do it because it helps me with my joints. It tackles my aches and pains after all those years of beating up my body, doing that silly spy stuff. But with Bubs Collagen, I just feel better. Bubs also has another product that I love. Their hydration packs. I use those before and after the gym. Keeps me going strong, just like the guy who inspired these products, by the way, a fellow named Glenn Doherty. He was a former CIA officer and Navy SEAL who sadly was killed in Benghazi. But his spirit of tenacity and strength is the bedrock of every Bubs product. So folks, go to BubsNaturals.com. And when you buy from Bubs, make sure that you use promo code RIGHT. You will get 20% off your order when you do. Again, that is BubsNaturals.com. Promo code RIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T. And trust me, your joints will be so happy you did. I guarantee it. Well, good morning. Are you eating your FactorMeals.com breakfast? Well, for Pete's sake, why not? Factor is the best meal delivery company in America, especially for busy or retired people. So here's why I think so. First, it's just the taste. The food is delivered fresh to your door, never frozen. And when you taste it, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. These meals just burst with flavor. And not just for breakfast. They've got lunches, dinners too, plus cold pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. And that is the second reason for why I love Factor Meals. They've got variety. Woo! More than 35 different meal options to choose from. So folks, get Factor Meals today at 50% off. Go to factormeals.com/right50, that's W-R-I-G-H-T 50, and get 50% off. Again, that is promo code RIGHT50 at factorymeals.com/right50 and get your 50% off. And as you do, remember that you are getting a meal service that is good for your body, great for your taste buds, and I promise you are going to love it. Welcome back to The Right Report. Let's continue with our briefs this morning with a pivot towards international news. First, we are getting word about why Russia targeted certain sites in western Ukraine over the weekend. I shared that with you yesterday. And odds are this news is going to impact your pocketbook or definitely those pocketbooks of our friends and trade partners in Europe. Here's the news. Ukraine acknowledged yesterday that the weekend barrage of missiles from the Russians were directed in part at the underground natural gas storage facilities in western Ukraine. Now, this is interesting. By way of background, Ukraine used to have about 12 or so oil and gas fields in decades gone by in the western part of Ukraine. They were exhausted during the era of Soviet control, and that left behind some 12 empty caverns with some over 1 mile below the surface. Meanwhile, two major aquifers were also exhausted during that era, and they sat right next to the border with the rest of Europe. Over the decades, those underground worlds were turned into a vast network of storage caverns for mostly natural gas and mostly for the ultimate use in Europe. When the war first started in Ukraine a couple of years ago, Kiev feared that Moscow would target those caverns, but not the actual caverns, rather the piping and the compressor stations above ground. The resulting damage could cause explosions, for instance, that's true, but mostly the goal would be to halt the trade of natural gas and deprive Ukraine of the money that it earns from the storage and transit of that gas, which is probably the strategy here. If I could pivot now to my analysis and opinion, Russian President Vladimir Putin knows that his refineries, of course, are being targeted by the Ukrainians, by those drones, and that will cause him some pretty serious economic pain with the loss of gas and diesel sales. So that is why he is going to do the same to Ukraine with these natural gas caverns. For what it's worth, Kyiv is scrambling to repair the damage this morning. It's unclear how badly the infrastructure was impacted or how much natural gas supply will ultimately be affected. But we can expect to see more of this in the future, with two notable concerns for your consideration this morning. First, if that buried natural gas cannot get out of the ground and to market, that starts to squeeze global supply. Now, right now, thankfully, that's not such a big deal. There is gobs of natural gas being pumped out of the ground from all around the world, and a lot of it exported to Europe. But that said, there is still a medium to long-term risk here, one that could affect your pocketbook depending on how long this war goes on. Second, when Russia fires missiles into Western Ukraine, often those missiles have to travel through or over NATO countries like Poland, which is exactly what happened over the weekend. And that raises the risk that a missile goes off course and lands in, well, somewhere in Poland, which could be considered a Russian attack on a NATO partner. And that would require us to respond. So that is why we ought to continue to monitor these missile strikes, certainly in Western Ukraine, and the reaction from countries like Poland. And I will. More to come. Next up this morning, we travel to the Gaza Strip to talk about a plan to deploy U.S. troops just offshore to build a floating dock. That idea was proposed by the White House just a few weeks ago during the State of the Union address. To refresh our memories on this, here's the concept. The U.S. will build a floating dock a mile or so off the shores of the Gaza Strip. Aid ships from around the world would first dock there, unload the goods, and await a smaller set of boats that would be full of trucks that would then be loaded with the aid. At that point, the smaller boats would then head back to the beaches of Gaza to a very small pier where the trucks, of course, would be unloaded. Okay, well, that sounds easy enough, right? Well, no. As NBC News is reporting this morning, the idea was so poorly thought out that it will likely endanger the lives of American men and women in uniform. So here's why. First, we start with this alarming fact. The White House cooked up this idea without fully coordinating it with the U.S. military. In fact, NBC News shared that when Mr. Biden announced this during the State of the Union address, it came as a huge surprise to top Pentagon leaders. Had they been more fully involved, they could have helped Mr. Biden and his team understand a few things. For instance, when that smaller set of boats arrive with all the trucks, two quick questions: who will drive the trucks and who will steer the boats? And how will those people be vetted? So far, nobody in Washington, D.C. can quite agree to a plan about that. Next, once the trucks are on the beaches of Gaza and they drive inside the strip to drop off the aid, they, of course, have to be driven back to the pier, loaded back onto the boats, and sent back to the U.S.-operated dock where our service members would be. But how will those trucks be inspected for things like bombs and whatnot? And who exactly is going to do the inspecting? Because you're going to have to get up very close and personal to those trucks to do it. Here again, no firm plans were ever thought out. Now, to be fair, there are talks underway right now to figure it all out, but no easy solutions exist. As NBC correctly points out, Gaza is a war zone full of Hamas fighters and civilians who support Hamas. So whatever the dock, the pier, the boats, and the trucks might be, all of them are potential security concerns. And none of that was properly thought out before it was announced. All right, with those facts and data, let me offer my brief analysis and opinion. As NBC News shared, this idea was hatched in the final days and hours before Mr. Biden delivered that speech a couple weeks ago. And what is very clear this morning is that it was not created ultimately to help the Palestinians, not really, nor protect U.S. troops, that's clear. Rather, the idea was created to stabilize Mr. Biden's support of Muslim Americans in voters in places like, I should say, Michigan. Which means that this whole idea is really just politics at its worst. Mr. Biden's reelection goals have apparently taken priority over the lives of our service members. And that's awful. He is willing to gamble with their fate to secure his own. So let's see what the White House and the Pentagon come up with, if they can salvage this plan. It is certainly worth our very close attention, and it's on my radar, and I sure hope it is on yours. Next, we've got some great news, good news, to talk about regarding the spying cars that we discussed last Tuesday. As a quick refresh, virtually all modern car companies sell vehicles that spy on you through onboard computers or embedded microphones. They then sell that data to data brokers who then sell it to corporations like insurance companies or even the U.S. government, including the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA. And with that data of yours in hand, all kinds of bad things end up happening, including the fact that your bills go up, especially your car insurance. So that was the update that I provided you last week, and that news led to a lot of outrage, certainly on Capitol Hill and consumer rights groups. Well, that, as a quick refresh, takes us to the news. General Motors released a press statement on late Friday saying that they would stop selling your data, your digital exhaust, to two large data brokers called LexisNexis and Verisk. Those companies were putting together the consumer packets that insurance companies were reviewing when they were considering your insurance rates. However, GM did not promise to stop collecting your data, nor did they promise to not sell it to other data brokers. As listeners know, that is probably because this is a multi-billion dollar stream of revenue for car companies, and they do not want to give it up. For what it's worth, GM is the only car company so far that has even tried a little bit to change their ways. No response yet from other car makers. So as ever, folks, if you want to make progress on this front to secure your digital exhaust, you got two options. First, yep, you got to become Amish. Or second, you have to work with your state legislators to pass bills to block the collection of data. One final thought for you this morning. If this whole issue just sounds like much ado about nothing, I want to flag for you some recent comments made by a former CIA director, an acting director. His name is Michael Morell. So here's what he said about your digital exhaust, of course, collected from cars to all of your internet-connected devices. Quote, "The information that is available commercially would knock your socks off. If we collected it at the CIA using traditional intelligence methods, it would be top secret sensitive. And you would not put it in a database. You would keep it in a safe," end quote. Whew, well, I'll tell you, if that doesn't concern you, I would encourage you to read a book. It is called Means of Control, How the Hidden Alliance of Tech and Government is Creating a New American Surveillance State. It's a great book, but fair warning, it's going to leave you a little bit anxious and, as ever, ready to become Amish. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude this morning's episode of The Wright Report. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back. It is the morning, but we need to talk about tonight. And that's because you need a good night's sleep, for Pete's sake. So get yourself a Ghost Bed. Yes, it is the company that I think makes the finest mattresses in all of America. And you know that's true because I have one, the Lux model, and boy, oh boy, do I like it. But they've got other models too. There's the Classic, also that fancy massage bed, oh my. And there's also the 3D Matrix, which again, sounds so scary, kind of like a black hole, but I really do want one. But no matter the model that you choose, gotta get one of these things. The mattresses are built with high quality materials, folks, fine craftsmanship as well, and you will feel both when this thing is delivered right to your doorstep. As always, they have a 101-day trial period with free returns. So folks, get yourself a Ghost Bed and get 50% off when you do. Go to ghostbed.com/right, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, and get 50% off your Ghost Bed purchase. Again, that's ghostbed.com/right, and get ready, because once this bed arrives, you are going to be off to a great night's sleep. I guarantee it. Somewhere this morning in capitals in America and Europe, leaders are planning how to best seize Russian financial assets. We spoke of this in early January and all the related threats to the U.S. dollar. But it could also have terrible impacts on our pocketbooks, too. So if you're looking for ways to diversify your investments, and boy, we should, consider physical gold and silver. And consider American Hartford Gold. They are the precious metal dealer that I use and trust. When you give them a call, they will explain how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by purchasing physical gold and silver. and feel very comfortable using American Hartford Gold, as they have an A-plus ranking from the Better Business Bureau. So either give them a call at 866-353-2694. Again, that's 866-353-2694. Or just text them. Text RIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, to 65532. And gosh, that's easy. Again, text W-R-I-G-H-T to 65532. And when you do, they are going to give you up to $5,000 worth of free silver on your first order, depending on your total purchase. So give them a call at 866-353-2694 or text my last name, W-R-I-G-H-T, to 65532. And folks, buy that physical gold and silver with American Hartford Gold. Welcome back to the Right Report with one more thing before I let you go. It's a listener question today sent to us as ever from one of my paid subscribers at rightreport.substack.com. Barry from somewhere in America wrote in. He was a little bit confused about my reports that I offered you yesterday and in weeks gone by about why U.S. consumers like you are going to pay higher gas prices or diesel prices because Ukraine is using their drones to attack refineries inside of Russia. Barry asked me, wait a minute, aren't we the world's biggest supplier of oil? Because that should mean, I think, that the drone strikes don't matter to us, right? Barry, in theory, yes, you're right. It shouldn't matter because, yes, America produces most of what we need to consume. And yet, it does matter a lot. So here's why. First, we start back in the 1970s. America banned the exportation of our crude oil and natural gas. But that law was reversed back in the year of 2015. That was pushed by House Republicans at the time and signed by President Obama. In other words, American oil and natural gas producers are part of the global market for oil and natural gas. They don't have to just sell it domestically. Next, we have the issue of the type of crude oil that we produce. So for folks unaware, crude oil comes in different types. And when we try to understand this, we will often hear words like heavy versus light crude or API gravity or sulfur content. But for our purposes, here's the upshot. There are different kinds of oils, and different oils require different kinds of refining. And America does not have all the refineries and the pipelines that take advantage of these specific types of oil that we produce. So we have to send a lot of this stuff abroad to either be refined or ultimately sold. So that means that when America goes out to buy what are called distillates, like gas and diesel or jet fuel, we have to go all around the world to buy it. We can't just buy from here at home. Which takes us to the third point. The U.S. has not built a new refinery in decades, since the 1970s, if I'm not mistaken. And that means that we are down in our overall capacity, about half of what we once used to have. And it's quite likely that no more refineries will ever get built in this country. And the reason why is a refinery can cost well into the billions to construct, north of 10 to 15 billion each. But as you think about that cost, ask yourselves, why would any reasonable oil company or investor ever do that, spend that kind of money, when we've got presidents like Mr. Biden or his party say that they are going to destroy the oil and gas industry because of climate change concerns? Well, obviously, no reasonable company or investor would ever do that. But to be clear, it doesn't have to be that way. As I shared with you back on January 30th, we can build those refineries, and we can then pull ourselves out of the Middle East and other places and largely rely on what we produce. And that would mean that we could let the Arabs and the Persians just slaughter each other, or they can swim in the blood of Islamic radicals. But then we could ignore this region. Otherwise, though, we can't. We can't ignore this place until we build our crude supplies and those critical refining capabilities. Again, that is the political choice. So, Barry, until or if that changes, we are stuck in places like the Middle East, and we have to care about those drone strikes in Russia against those big old oil refineries. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. As always, I will see you tomorrow, God willing. Until then, I leave you with the creed of every good spy and every wise American. They're the words from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.